Okay, let's unpack this. When we hear about a labor strike, our minds often jump straight to the picket lines, right? The workers, maybe the halted production, the headlines.
Yeah, that's the visible part.
But imagine there's this whole hidden industry, almost like a ghost army, you could say, that, mobilizes behind the scenes during these big disputes just to keep things running.
Exactly.
And today, that's what our deep dive is all about. This pretty fascinating, often invisible world of strike staffing agencies.
And what's really interesting, I think, is how these agencies aren't just reacting when a strike happens. They're actually providing a critical, proactive service. It's all about maintaining business continuity.
Right, continuity. That's a term you don't always connect directly with strikes in the
It
news.
gets overlooked, yeah. So our mission today is really to pull back the curtain on the strategies, the detailed planning these agencies use. We've looked at a whole range of industry sources to figure this out.
So we'll explore the how they prepare, how they manage, how they help companies navigate these, pretty turbulent times.
That's the plan.
Okay, so setting the stage a bit, we often hear about the big strikes back in the, the 70s or 80s. Are strikes still a major factor today, or have things calmed down? What's the data look like?
Well, they're definitely not as frequent as in those peak decades, that's true. But calling them insignificant, no way. They're still a pretty potent force. If you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, their data for 2019 showed 25 major work stoppages.
25 major ones in just 1 year.
Yeah. And these weren't small things. They involved, get this, 425,500 workers.
Wow.
And led to about 3.2 million days of idleness. So days where work just wasn't happening because of the strike across all sorts of industries.
That's a huge amount of lost time, lost productivity. And these strikes, they usually boil down to fundamental issues, right? Wages, conditions,
That's
benefits.
usually it, core stuff, wage disputes, arguments over working conditions, benefits packages, sometimes job security fears.
And whatever the cause, the fallout can be pretty severe, can it, for everyone involved?
Oh, absolutely. Workers lose wages, obviously. Companies see productivity plummet. And then there's the reputational damage, which can sometimes sting longer than the strike itself.
Right, that can linger. So the stakes are just incredibly high. And that leads us to the cost, I suppose.
Exactly. If we connect these dots, the financial hit for a company facing a strike, it can be truly staggering. I mean, what are we actually talking about in terms of dollars and cents? Because it gets real fast.
These are numbers that would make any CFO break out in a cold sweat. I saw a study, I think it was the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service back in the 80s. They figured the average cost of a strike per day to a company was about $1 million.
$1 million a day back then.
Right. And if you adjust that for inflation today, that's roughly $2.5 million per day.
2.5 million daily.
Think about that over a long strike, 100 days. That's $250 million.
And like you said, that's just an average. There are some really specific examples that just blow that away, that really highlight the scale of this financial risk.
Like what? Any big ones come to mind?
Well, take the 2019 UAW strike against General Motors,
Yeah.
the United Auto Workers, right?
Yeah, I remember that one.
It lasted 40 days, involved about 46,000 workers. GM themselves said it cost them nearly $3 billion in lost production.
$3 billion.
Yep. If you average that out, it comes to about $75 million every single day.
$75 million a day. That's almost hard to comprehend. And it's not just like old school heavy industry, right? We've seen this in other sectors too.
Oh, definitely. Think about the West Coast port slowdown, 2014, 2015. That was tied to a labor dispute.
Right, the ports. That caused chaos.
Huge chaos. A study, I think, by the National Association of Manufacturers and the National Retail Federation estimated it cost the entire U.S. economy up to $2.5 billion a day at its peak.
The whole economy.
Yeah. And then look at Hollywood. The 2007 Writers Guild strike, the WGA strike, lasted 100 days.
It's a long one.
Very. Estimates suggest it cost the Los Angeles economy somewhere between $1.5 and maybe $2.1 billion. Just the entertainment industry lost around $380 million in wages alone.
Wow.
And even more recently, you have Moody's estimating that the latest Hollywood labor deals could end up costing media companies, potentially up to $600 million extra per year.
So, with these kinds of numbers flying around, billions of dollars, it makes sense why companies are desperate for a plan B. It's almost an existential threat.
It really can be. And that's exactly why this often hidden industry, these strike staffing agencies, become so critical. They're not just nice to have. For many companies, they feel indispensable. They provide that lifeline.
That plan B.
The essential plan B to try and weather the storm, financially speaking.
Okay, so let's shift gears then. Let's look behind the picket line. How do these agencies actually do it? It sounds like way more than just, you know, calling up some temps. It seems like a really complex operation.
It absolutely is. It's incredibly detailed, multifaceted. It's not just finding people. It's a whole strategic approach.
So where do they even start? How do they prepare for something potentially massive?
Well, it's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
And the real cleverness, I think, is how they shift crisis management from just reacting to being proactive, almost predictive in a way. There are basically five key strategic areas or pillars they focus on.
Okay, five pillars. What's the first one?
Pillar number one is identifying potential strike scenarios in advance.
Ah, so they're looking ahead.
Exactly. They're actively monitoring industry trends, keeping tabs on labor relations news, tracking collective bargaining agreements that are coming up for negotiation. They're trying to see where trouble might brew.
Like early warning systems.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
And once they spot a potential risk, they work really closely with the client, the company, to develop a detailed contingency plan. This plan maps out everything. Staffing needs, how operations might need to change, communication strategies during a potential strike. It's basically applying serious strategic thinking to labor relations, much like a company would for, say, supply chain risks.
Okay, so they're not just waiting by the phone for disaster to strike. They're actively scanning the horizon. Once they've identified a potential situation, what's next?
Good question. That brings us to the second pillar, recruiting and training qualified replacement workers.
Right. The actual people.
The actual people. And this isn't just about, you know, finding warm bodies. It's about building a whole parallel workforce pipeline that can be activated on demand.
So skilled people.
Definitely. They need skilled individuals who can step in pretty much immediately and do the jobs of the striking workers. The goal is minimal disruption.
How do they find them?
Various ways. Targeted advertising, sometimes specific job fairs, referrals are big too. And crucially, they do thorough background checks and interviews. They need reliable people, obviously, but also considering security in a tense situation is paramount.
Makes sense. Avoid trouble from within.
Exactly. Then these workers get specialized training. Sometimes it's on-site at the company, sometimes at the agency's own facilities. They cover operations, safety is huge, specific job duties. The idea is they're ready to go, plug and play.
A ready-to-deploy, trained, vetted workforce. But like you mentioned, it's not just the people, is it? There must be huge logistical challenges moving potentially large numbers of workers into what could be a pretty hostile environment.
I nailed it. That's pillar number three. Coordinating complex strike logistics. This goes way beyond just HR.
Okay.
Think about it. Arranging transportation, often across long distances.
Mm.
Finding accommodations for potentially hundreds or thousands of temporary workers.
Near the site, presumably.
Usually, yeah. Plus securing any permits or licenses needed, especially if they're operating near picket lines. And a really critical piece is coordinating with local law enforcement and often private security firms.
Security must be massive.
Huge. Developing security plans, monitoring what's happening on the picket lines, being ready to handle incidents or confrontations safely, protecting everyone involved, the replacement workers, the company property, even the striking workers, is top priority.
That sounds like a very, very delicate balancing act. Keeping things safe while also under immense pressure to keep the business running.
It absolutely is. Yeah. A really fine line. And that's where their experience really counts. It ties directly into the fourth key area, actually.
Which is?
Managing communications and public relations.
Oh, controlling the narrative.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least managing it. Effective communication is vital. A strike is a PR challenge, no doubt about it. Agencies work with the clients to draft press releases, handle media interviews, manage the social media storm that often erupts.
Trying to get the company side out there.
Exactly. Making sure their perspective is represented accurately.
Yeah.
But it's also about internal communication, talking to the non-striking employees, reassuring customers, keeping stakeholders informed, trying to maintain positive relationships as much as possible through a really tough time. It's about thoughtful handling of all parties.
Okay, so proactive planning, recruitment and training, complex logistics, managing PR. What's the fifth pillar? Does it end when the strike ends?
Not quite. The final pillar is just as important. Evaluating strike outcomes and lessons learned.
The postmortem.
Precisely. Once the dust settles and the strike is resolved, the agency works closely with the client again to really analyze What happened? How did things go?
What does that involve?
It can involve debriefing sessions with the replacement workers themselves, getting that crucial on-the-ground feedback. Reviewing all the operational data, how effective were the contingency plans? Did production actually stay up? And assessing the communication strategies, what worked, what didn't.
Learning from experience.
Exactly. They meticulously analyze the successes, the challenges, everything. And they use that to continuously refine their approach. It helps them get better at managing the next dispute, because they're awesome is the next one. It's about continuous improvement in a really dynamic field.
Wow. It really is a full spectrum approach, isn't it? Almost military grade, like you said, from predicting the storm to analyzing the aftermath and preparing for the future. These agencies are just deeply woven into the whole process of keeping a business alive when everything else seems to be falling apart.
That sums it up pretty well. They really are a specialized kind of emergency response team for businesses facing labor disputes.
So we've peeled back quite a few layers here, looking at how these agencies work, the incredible costs involved in strikes. But what does this all mean for you, the listener, trying to understand the bigger picture of, you know, economics and labor today?
Well, I think
this deep dive, it really shines a light on a highly specialized sector, one that plays this massive role in softening the blow, the intense financial and operational hit that strikes can deliver.
And ultimately, I think it underscores the really complex dance between labor, business, and the broader economy. It shows just how valuable strategic planning and sheer adaptability are when companies face these huge operational challenges.
Right, ensuring essential services or production can keep going.
Even when things get really turbulent, it proves how proactive planning can make a difference against even really unpredictable disruptions.
So here's something to chew on as we wrap up. In this constantly changing world of work, you know, where the power balance between labor and management is always shifting, what new strategies might pop up, either to prevent strikes altogether or maybe to maintain business continuity in ways we haven't even thought of yet?
That's a great question.
Think about AI, automation. Could they become the ultimate strike breakers? Or what happens if the whole nature of work changes so much that the traditional strike just doesn't have the same impact anymore? Lots to think about there.